Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sick and tired of being criticized. I'm sick and tired of barely getting by. I'm sick and tired of not living right. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of being pushed aside. I'm sick and tired of gonna come for rise. I'm sick and tired of this candy life.
Come up with. Been born in America since 1619. My sister say we've been here longer than that, but I'm talking about those recorded years. They say Virginia, first offspring of Africa, arrived 1619. It's going to be 400 years, 2019. I'm sick and tired lot of the complaining, the whining. My brother said to me, Leonard said that what looked like a struggle, looked like a struggle, might have been just preparation for things to come. Maybe we are been prepared for greater and awesome things, but only when we can come to that understanding of who we are. Welcome to the Focus Show. This is me, Sean. How you like that nappy roots? I was trying to find what's the most appropriate song for this Sunday before the July 4th. And what could I say to get people thinking about it? Those who maybe listen to this show, you go back and listen to this show. It says the Declaration of Independence, post-awakening as descendants of American slaves since 1619. Me and my sister was sitting there having a conversation. I'm bringing my sister on because she's my co-host, my good old co-host, Queen from Texas. We were sitting there. I mean, we talked until 1 o'clock yesterday. Ooh, in the a.m. Good God. My wife said, "Who you talk? What lady you sitting there talking to 3 hours on the telephone?" And we were talking about the craziness that's going on in our community. But my sister Queen told me about some things that she said she had to check some men, you know, about this homosexuality. I'm sick and tired. We claiming something that ain't natural, that unnatural stuff, and we allow people to make us endorse it for us. And I'm sick and tired of being played that way. My sis had me fired up. Queen, you had me fired up, girl. I mean, I got with you. And I said I had to play the appropriate song. So here's my queen. She's the queen. She's the woman. She's the sister of the descendants of the movement.
Good evening.
Girl.
How are you today, Brother Meeshawn?
I am just feeling awesome about this Sunday before July the 4th, where we're trying to let people know that we've been here since 1619. But we get tired of whining and crying about what somebody done to us. And as Leonard going to come on and talk about, you know, what looked like a struggle probably been a preparation. Would you say that, girl?
I would definitely say that, and I'm saying that after 400 years, if we haven't had enough preparation, I don't know what it's going to take.
That's what I'm saying.
Because you know what? I don't have time for men, you know, and I'm saying men on purpose because that is my personal agenda, because I want to see men on the front line for us as women, for us children, as the future. Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you now,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, so I was saying I want to see men on the front line of this fight for them to invest as much time and as much money and as much effort into us as their women, as their children, as their families, their sisters, their brothers, their grandmothers, their aunts, their nieces. I want to see them on the front line advocating for us, and let's put history aside, because history is no longer a mystery. That's already happened. So you can keep grabbing back at yesterday, but like my father told me, you can't see the road to the future looking back over your shoulder at your past. So we have to move forward and get past all the pettiness and recognize who and what we are and the abilities that we have, utilize those abilities and move forward and build something for ourselves.
You know, and I am totally in agreement with you, but I also want to say that the deal is that we have to also correct. We got to unlearn some things that we've been bamboozled by, because part of that part of the reason why we're saying that we're no longer addressing and accepting that Negro, Black, and African-American terminologies, because those are terminologies, or I call them placebos, that were passed on to us to make us feel less than, that we cannot be able to participate in this America experience. We constantly trying to, you know, we constantly looking at ourselves as a cup. Matter of fact, I love the idea. We are America's Frankenstein. Leonard and I talked about this, and I had this conversation before. We are America's Frankenstein, okay? The American slaves, descendants of slaves and everything. But just like in the Frankenstein movie and everything, the Frankenstein started realizing that it was human. It got its life from the electricity that came from above and everything. He started realizing he had emotion. He realized he had something to offer and everything. But interesting about the movie, the Frankenstein movie, we can't allow ourselves to get what the Frankenstein monster got caught up in. He got all evoblated, all crazy in his head and everything, couldn't figure out that he had existence to live and he had reason to live. And so he went and quit and committed suicide. Many of us are committed suicide by us not participating and engaging and doing the things that we're doing. We need to recognize that the experiment, the choices that America made in that compromise in 1776, we are, okay, that Frankenstein American slave monster. But we need not be talking about committing suicide. We need to be actually talking about participating and being involved. What do you think about that analogy? That's an interesting little analogy there, isn't it?
It is. It is very interesting, and I can follow you very well on that analogy, Brother Meshorn. And I just hope that today we get the message across about the awakening. And,
yes.
And what was key about what you said was about unlearning some of the things that we have learned. I believe throughout our history that there was a time to be what you call pro-Black. There was a time
right.
to walk around holding our fist in the air and
right.
you know, loving our Black selves. But then
right.
it seems like to me we stopped with pride. You know, we stopped
yes.
with Black pride. But we have no production, and now I think that we, with our thinking, has kept us separated from participating in what America says she is about. So now we can grab hold to the African roots. I'm always grabbing hold to my African roots, but what I can definitely say is that I was born right here in America, and that
right.
I feel like I have the right to have the American life. I have the right to live that life without the distinguishment of the hue of my skin, and actually participate
right.
in the principles that America has to offer to everyday life. I do not have to self-identify with my hue of my skin, the color of my skin. I am an American woman. I am uniquely American because of my roots, but at the end of the day, America's promise is as good as we can fulfill it. And so
right.
now we cannot keep going back to what they've done, what they tried to do,
why
what
they
crying. Will do.
Yeah.
So now
yeah.
it's about what are we going to do.
Hey, you know, I done made my partner, Marcus, Mike open to it again. And I want to make sure Marcus said something to me before. And I want to see when he want to make some comments. And Marcus, your mic is live and everything. You said something before. You said, how did you put it? You said, me and Sean, I think what happened in the 70s, okay, we got caught up and we took all that fight and all that All that noise we were making and strive we were making everything. Then all of a sudden, we got fancy and we put our movement on auto drive. We took our hands off the steering wheel and everything, and we no longer navigated it and had control of it. We thought we had arrived. Hey, Marcus, remember you was talking about that? You want to add to that conversation? Welcome to the Focus Show, Marcus.
Well, I'm in another meeting right now, just listening in. But what can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I can hear you.
So I'm gonna have to be real quick. What I was saying is that, you know, the Civil Rights Act, we thought we were on cruise control. You know, everybody drives a car, you put your car on cruise, and it'll take you where you're going. You just have to keep your hand on the wheel so that you stay in between your two lines. And what I've equated to the civil rights movement is we thought we were on cruise control to the promised land. And then what we did is we took our hand off the steering wheel. And just like anything else, if you take your hand off the steering wheel of a car, you drift into the other lane and you can get hit head on by the traffic coming in the other direction. And so what I've said is we took our hands off the wheel and we've gotten sent across that center lane. We've got hit coming in the other direction by those white only signs. And so that's my analogy for it. And so basically we thought we were on our way to the promised land and we got relaxed and we messed around and took our hand off the wheel. And now that white only sign coming in the other direction has hit us head on.
I like that analogy. You're breaking up a little bit, Marcus, but
I'm in the middle of a budget meeting, so I just stepped out real quick to tell you that. I'm going to put you back on mute, and when that meeting's over, I'll come back in.
Yeah, I'm going to put you back on mute. All right, bro. Appreciate you, man. All right, Evan.
All right.
That analogy that he gave there is an analogy that I think it is so appropriate. Wouldn't you say so, Queen?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I think that is, I agree with him wholeheartedly. That is a great part of the downfall, because it's almost like when we get a trinket or we get thrown a bone, we get comfortable and we become inactive in the process. And if you look at any other ethnicity, not just Caucasian people, but if you look at Asian people, if you look at Italian people, if you look at Jewish people, if you look at even the Northern Africans, the Ethiopians, when they come here, they start a process and they make progress and they don't stop. They keep going. Because they know that the same amount of work that it took to obtain something, it's going to take equally or more amount of work to maintain it. And what it is that we made a stepping stone, America made a stepping stone, maybe, if you want to call it that, in the right direction with the civil rights movement. And then we just sat back and kind of like tried to wait on the gravy, and the gravy never came. So I think that analogy that Marcus gave us was on point, and I can bear witness to it in our history. And we just have to, like you said, Michonne, we have to unlearn some of the things that we have learned, and we can't go around accepting trinkets and bones, because you know when you make groceries and if your wife says she wants steak and potatoes, you know you can't just come home with a steak bone. You got to bring the steak and the potatoes and everything else to go along with it. So that is what's happening here. And I pray that with Dossie, with the other organizations, Man Up, Descendants of American Slaves, and all of the other organizations, I hope that they will join us in going in a new direction, obtaining a new way of thinking, and actually getting involved in this American process, you know, because no matter where you come from, no matter what religion you want to claim, no matter what associations you want to make, you are here on American soil. And it is time for us to participate fully in the process so that we can reap the reward of the so-called American dream.
Hey, and I want to bring Gene. What's up, Gene Gordon? How you doing? Welcome to the Focus Show. Hey, man. When you hear us talking about the unlearn, the relearn, what does that mean to you? Have you been following us when we say we need to unlearn and relearn?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Gene?
Assalamu alaikum. I've been following you, sir. Yes. Unlearn to relearn. We have to, and I'm going to quote the scripture. Jesus said, you can't put new wine in an old wineskin.
Oh,
great.
Mm.
Meaning that you can't put the new wisdom and knowledge. You got to get all that old stuff and what you've been taught over the years. You got to get it all out of you so you can put in the new. So that's what it means to me to unlearn, to relearn. You got to wash all that wickedness. You know, they say you brainwash. Yes, my brain has been washed, and a lot of our brains needs to be washed so we can
right.
Put in the new. So that's what it means to unlearn, to relearn.
You know what, you know what, Gene, brother, you are a wise brother, man. You know, and I'm saying that as a compliment to you, man, because, you know, sometimes, you know, I be putting stuff on Facebook and everything, and there is a difference between people who are spiritual and who are just still captured and don't know how to understand certain things. And I remember I posted that before about unlearn, and I said, use the same scripture you was talking about, new wine. Do you know I had people that was inboxing me, and I said, what you talking about? I don't follow you. Man, you that. And I like, listen, you know, maybe this might be too grown conversation for you, okay? Maybe you just not mature enough to
right?
Maybe I'm talking too fast. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but Gene, I love the fact that you received it. I didn't have to break it down to you. You came right on and used the very same scripture that I used, and you. I don't even know if you knew that I used the very same
scripture. No. I've never seen the post, but remember this, Brother Michonne, thought travels 24 billion miles per second.
Woo!
So it's our connection with the universe, our connection is there. But what I want to just say this to the listening audience, I'm going to let you and your co-hosts get back to the show. We got to be washed.
Yes.
Our brains got to be washed. And in the spirit of Dr. King, America wrote a check that came back as NSF, insufficient funds. It's time that we go back. It's time that we go back.
Oh, Gene, you're going to have to say that again, brother. I kind of lost that. Okay, you got lost there. I need to hear that again.
Well, in the spirit of Dr. King, America wrote us a check that came back NSF, insufficient funds. And it's time now that we come together and rescind that check and with the NSF fee tacked on to it. Now, we can't go asking or begging for anything.
No.
And Sister Queen mentioned about the Asians and the Arabs that are over in America. They are respected. Japanese
right.
People are respected because America respects Japan. Chinese people are respected because America respects China. Arabs are respected because American government respects Arabia. Why aren't we respected? Because we're not claiming our own nation. We don't. What are we claiming? The hood? We're not claiming Africa and African descendants of African American slaves.
We're claiming black. Right. We're claiming We claiming the name that Dr. Frankenstein America gave to us. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I just said. See, we're claiming the name that Dr. Frankenstein America gave us. You know, Dr. Frankenstein America gave us black, so we can constantly see Dr. Frankenstein is white. Okay, y'all didn't hear what I just said, right? Y'all follow me? You see why I use that analogy? You know, we continue saying, we black. Dr. Frankenstein America told you you were black.
Well, let me say this about that. You know, not as an excuse, but as an explanation, okay? You have to remember that coming up on the shores of America, being brought up on the shores of America, that there was not a lot of respect for the Africans that were taken away from Africa, because now you become a captured slave. The reason why the name Descendants of American Slaves is so important, because for some people it's an insult because they don't want to be reminded of slavery, or they think that the name slave is a disgrace. However, if you go into do business and politics under the Descendants of American Slaves, you best remember this, that slaves were a commodity, were business entity for the European slave masters, for the Spanish Hispaniola masters, for the British slave masters. So when you start to stake claim to anything, you are staking claim on the business commodity that was made off the lives of your ancestors, who were politically and business-wise called slaves. Okay, that's one thing. The second thing about that is that in your ignorance of language and the lack of ability to communicate with the slaveholders, that they called you nigga, because in their ignorance, when they got you from the area of Niger, that's how they pronounced it. Then, as you so-called were free, you became the Negro, and then you became black. And at the same time, not even myself, at the same time, not realizing that when we were rising up saying that, say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud, the Caucasian enemy was over there clapping, because guess what he realized? He realized that you had made no connection, or you staked no ownership in any part of the world. You didn't identify with any continent or any land base whatsoever, which means that you are still brainwashed and disconnected from how this all started. So if you want to claim something, you can claim descendant of American slaves. I claim that I'm a descendant of African slaves, and that's what we have to attach ourselves to unattach ourselves to ignorance.
Ooh, good. Hey, Howard, your mic is on. Oh, Howard, did she just break that down very good? Howard, tell me you didn't understand that. You caught that, didn't you, Howard?
I have not understood most of what I have heard since I've been on the phone.
Oh, my God. You have not. You're kidding, right? I mean, you're kidding, right?
I'm dead fucking serious.
Okay. Mr. Howard, what have you not understood?
I called to listen.
Oh, okay. Well, since you said what you said there, that I'm gonna go ahead and put your mic on hold, and then you just listen then, okay? Because if you didn't catch none of that jewels and information that we just dropped there, yeah, brother, you need to continue listening, okay? You need to really continue listening. Hey, Peter.
Absolutely.
Peter, go ahead and did you just hear what Queen just dropped? Okay. Peter, what did you just get from that?
Got a lot. There's a lot to chew on. I think Queen's opening statements were very on target. I've talked about this too. Like, history is in the past. You know, those who dwell in the past really just dwell in pain, because most of us remember bad stuff in the past, and the present, we call the now, that's where the creator exists too. We always say God exists in the present, and the future is yet to be created. Now, there's some people live in the past, and others live in the future fantasy world. You know, they think they're going to win the lottery, and that's how they're going to make their wealth. But I think we got to get people living in the now and do everything today to make them better people.
It is interesting
you bring up the Asian community, because I've been looking at some of the government statistics, and contrary to popular belief, you know, we just all assume, well, white folks are the wealthiest, doing the best in America, right? We assume that?
No, I don't agree with that. Indigenous people collectively are richer than Caucasian people. What I can say is that when it comes to American stakeholders, though, I can say that when it comes to assets, that Caucasian people may be rich in that aspect. But not when you talk about real wealth, no. No.
Peter, where you was going to go?
Yeah, I was going to. Well, what I was going to say, that when you look at per capita income, that means, you know, per person income, it's the Asian community that's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They are the wealthiest, and one of the main reasons is they have the highest education level. They value education extremely important,
yes,
to be educated and skilled. And they,
yes,
also have the lowest rate of divorce, and they have the lowest rate of children out of wedlock, so they value family, the intact two-parent, three-generational family,
mm-hmm,
and education. And so it's really not rocket science. I mean, people make it real complicated. There's another statistic where if in America, if you get a high school education, not even talking about a college education, but a high school education, you get a job of any sort, and you wait till you're married to have children, you have a 96% chance of staying out of poverty. So those three things, that's not asking a lot. So get a high school education, it's free, get a job, and wait till you're married to have children. And you got a 96% chance.
Those are pretty simple, basic things, Ed.
Yeah, and that's kind of
pretty
what we were
basic and
earlier.
Simple things to try. Right.
Yeah.
You,
but unfortunately,
you know,
Americans the board are dropping out of high school. They're not getting jobs, and they're
having children out of wedlock before they get married.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting you went there, Peter, because while I was at work today, and Queen, you might appreciate this, you know, I told you had me fired up after I got off the phone with you, you know, and since I'm a military person, I always think about military structure and how things structurally needs to be done. And so what I realized is that in the military, we have formations, we have all these different formations, and there's a protocol of how things are supposed to be done. Culturally, we are demographics of people that has been our cultural makeup, our cultural development, it has been lost. You know, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I've been around European Americans and everything, and specifically in the military, that some of them can go, you know, they can go off the farm with their culture. They can go out and do all type of crazy stuff. And 10 years, 5 years, whatever, how long, and go off the farm, okay, and do whatever they want to do. But when they get done doing whatever they want to do, okay, they come back home or they come back to their culture and they can pick up whatever it is and start their whole life over. Do you realize that culturally we can't do that right now? Because culturally, I'm talking about culturally. I'm not talking about individual families. I'm talking about culturally. If you look at the European culture, if you look like the Hispanic culture, if you look at the Asian culture, if their children go off and just like sow their oaks or just get off the farm, say, I'm not following you, Dad. I ain't listening to you, Mom. I ain't giving a flip about what you taught me, Catholic. I ain't care about this. I'm going to go do my own thing. Well, if they go out and do their own thing, and then eventually whatever they get through doing, okay, and they decide that it didn't work out for them, or they come on back home, have you ever noticed that? And I've talked to so many that they were able to pick up and, you know, hook back into whatever their culture was and whatever it is, and, you know, they ethnic wealth or whatever it is, and they were able to say, if their parents had some wealth or somebody say, okay, boy, here it is, I had something for you. You ready to go to school? I can help you out. If you want to do this, do that. But can we do that? And I want to ask this question to you, Queen, first, and to you, Gene, okay? And I got a caller here, 921. I want to bring you on air as well. Queen, do you follow what I'm saying? Can we culturally do that right now? You know, if we go off, I mean, I already know the answer to that, but if we go off the farm, if we go so out, we go get crazy and all that, do we have anything foundationally that we can come back to and say, Mom, Dad, culture? And you, are you feeling me? Anybody hear what I'm saying?
I'll be more than happy to answer that question. And I'm going to just go from where you are when you say come off the farm. First of all, farm represents land. Second of all, we don't have any. Culturally, we don't have any. We don't build generational wealth. So actually, if the child actually decides to leave the projects will be there waiting for you. I don't know if there'll be any vacancies for free, but yes, the projects will be there waiting for you. But culturally, what we don't do, we don't build generational wealth. We hope to have our children educated at least to the point where they can become what we call independent. Now, not independent and successful, not independent and wealthy. We just want you to get a job and get out of the house. That is the culture. And it's unfortunate that is the culture, because we have gotten so far away from what family means. We have gotten so far away from what marriage means. So I'm going to marry a man, and I expect that man to be the head of my household, and if we're talking about having a family, I expect that man to have a plan for our children's education, and in the process, going to help that man build some kind of legacy, some kind of generational wealth for our children. They will have the freedom of choice, but what they won't have is the freedom of no choice. And that's the difference.
Yeah, I want to bring, you've been listening there for a while, Ella. Area code 813, last 4-9-9-1-20. Welcome to the Focus Show. Who's this?
That's my brother, Jihad.
Hey, how you doing, brother? How you doing?
I'm fine by the grace of Allah. I'm enjoying the conversation.
Hey, you sound like you're talking in a hole, man. I can't barely hear you.
We can't hear you, Jihad.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm enjoying the conversation. I'm just in the cut.
Well, very good. Very good. Thank you for what is it that you heard that you want to make? Hey, what is it you heard? This is Brother Meshaw, man. What did you say, Brother Jihad?
Jihad.
You're nice. Yeah, nice meeting you. What is it that you done heard that you want to make some comments? Because I got a young brother on his telephone that's listening to everything, and I'm going to call him out, okay? He been listening. He act like he ain't heard nothing in here we've been saying and everything. Like, he can't compute anything we've been saying in here so far and everything. So I'm going to bust him out, okay? So can you please, just for my sake, can you please explain what you might have heard that sounds like we talking like we got our head on right? Can you explain? Can you help me out, bro?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Seek refuge with Allah from the rejected Satan. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the most merciful. You definitely got your head on right. And the conversation is very intelligent, very very much needed. You know, I also invited. I just actually, when you called my number out, I knew I wasn't in the court, the Q&A, and so I had sent the number out through a chain text because I find the conversation very interesting. And actually, I just woke up out of a cat nap, and but what I did hear in regards to having something to fall back on as far as different ethnic groups, as Asian. Groups and so forth, you know, as a young man myself at the time, I always say this, and I think this is a good time to say it now in lieu of this conversation. When I was 16 years old myself, I was subjected to a Florida State prison system wherein
okay.
I received a multiple of 27 years with 3 years mandatory for one armed robbery conviction. And I ended up with 10 years with 3 years mandatory after fighting it. And I did like 9.5 years in prison. But while in prison, I, was engaged in a lot of riots and so forth, wherein I was subjected to various prisons, multiple of 13 to 14 prisons. And out of all of the years I did in prison, out of all of the prisons I've been to, I've never encountered one Korean. I never encountered one Chinese. I never encountered many of these ethnic groups that have businesses in our community. I'm pretty sure they're having relationships. I'm pretty sure they have children, you know. I'm pretty sure there's Chinese gangs, there's Korean gangs, there's Russian gangs. But why their children are not being subjected to the same vices that we're being subjected to, you know.
Uh-huh.
So evidently we have to have something in place for their children to keep their children out of these wretched conditions or situations than us, you know. So we definitely are still being set upon by the same enemy that brought our people over here over 400 and some odd years ago. So I'm definitely with you, and as Sister Queen said, land is the basis of independence, and we don't have that. And the question is, what are we really fighting for? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we're going to get in this fight. You know, we got to have a purpose. You know, after the smoke clears.
Well, you know, Brother Gerard, you know. I want to say to you that you hit it right on the nose, and I'm glad. You know, one of the great things that you just eloquently and articulately explained is that it's so funny the way you put it, too. And all your travels and all the things you've seen, you've never seen no Asian, you know, so you've not seen, hey, hardly ever probably seen any Jewish people at all. Probably.
Oh, none Jew. No Jew.
None, probably.
And,
okay,
you know,
none.
And I,
yeah, they,
none.
Yes.
And what made me,
yeah,
and what made
around.
Me think about it, I said, you know, you got all of these businesses in the community. I mean,
right.
The Arabs, you on the outside of the store selling
right.
illegal drugs and really providing free security for these Arabs, you know, while they're on the inside of the store selling legal and illegal drugs and contributing to the illegal drugs on the outside of the store and violating your women. You know, I think
right.
this should be coming out of our community. It should be a boogeyman, you know what I'm saying, that steps to these stores, you know, and demand certain things, you know, and find out what masjid they go to. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What, how, you know, I mean, because they shut down their stores as if they're doing a good thing on Fridays, and they're going to pray
You're
somewhere.
Right.
You know?
You're right.
And come back, and then come back, and, you know. Yeah. Somebody got to be held accountable as well as ourselves. We got to be held accountable too.
But you know, I want to let you be aware that what you just said there is so very important. When I, you know, I'm a retired military guy after 21 years, and I came back, and I'm not from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm from Miami, Florida. And, but I, you know, I got retired here from Fort Knox, and I, and decided and got married here and bought a home. Now, one of the things, the first thing owning property, okay, a land is owning a home, okay, not being a renter, but at least owning a home. So, you know, I purchased a home, so I bought property. So I got dug in, okay. Now, I created a perimeter around my house and everything, so all those things that's within my perimeter, I'm responsible for. Like, Queen, I'm the man, okay? I'm the man. First thing I told my wife, now, Queen, I don't think you heard me say that. Maybe you have heard me say it. I told my wife, ain't no religious person larger in my house than me, okay? So if you need to go, if Pastor so-and-so is telling you this, don't bring it home to me telling me what Pastor so-and-so is telling you, okay? Well, I didn't have to worry about that because my wife is not that way, okay? She, that's not her thing, but I made it very clear, okay, that Pastor nobody on nobody's church is larger in my house than me, okay, because it's my perimeter in my house, okay? So let me
share something with you, Ms. Sean, because I know you don't know Brother Jihad. You just met him, but I'll be so remiss if I didn't say this. That's my little brother. That is my spiritual brother, and he's so close to me. He's like one of my heartbeats. And
okay,
what he is that he is the founder of BYC, Building Your Community, out of Tampa,
okay,
Florida. Now, when you're talking about man up, when you're talking about community fathers, when you're talking about brotherhood, when you're talking about the protection of the women, when you're talking about a spiritual leader, when you're talking about a comforter, when you're talking about a brother, you're talking about Jihad Amos Muhammad. And that is who that young man is. And he has shared a great deal of his life since he was a child. Being active in his community, whether he was on the right side or the wrong side. But what he did when he came out of that prison, or those prisons that he talked about, and I always quote him, he says, I came back to rebuild the community that I had a hand in destroying in. So, you know, he didn't walk away. He came back to rebuild something that he had a hand in destroying. And in that process, I have been able to witness, since I've known him the past 5 or 6 years, how he has transitioned lives. So I just want to say I'm just so glad to hear his voice. I hadn't talked to him in a minute. So I love you, Brother Jihad, and I just wanted you to know me, Sean, who he was.
Well, I thank you for giving me. Yeah, I want to, you know, I'm a military guy. What she just did, so all she did for me, okay, all she did for me, I'm a retired sergeant first class, and so you understand, all she did with me is gave you your credentials to me, let me know that I got a first soldier on the line here. I got someone who's serious about his work.
That's a general right there, baby.
Oh, yeah, that's all. All she done said to me, and you don't know me that well, and I'm sure sister will let you know, you in trouble, brother, because, see, I'm about doing some work, okay? And see, I'm about doing some work, okay?
What part of Miami are you from?
Brother, Miami. I come, you know, first of all, let me qualify this, okay, so you can understand. I haven't been to Miami in over 30 years, but I come from Carousel City, Liberty City, okay?
That's where I grew up at.
Oh, is that right? Lejeune, the 93rd and Lejeune and everything down there,
yeah,
bro, right in front
Lake Lucerne, yeah.
Oh, Lord. Homie, what's up?
Opa-locka.
Oh, you know what we say, Pokey. beans, what we talk about, right? Poking beans, right?
That's
you
right.
heard that terminology?
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
61. When we poking, you know what I mean when I say poking beans, right?
You know I do.
Okay.
And,
you know I do.
This is I'm writing your number down. This is another conversation for another time, bro. But let me tell you something, man.
Yes,
it's beautiful. It's beautiful that you know my sister, okay? And she's good people and everything. But what I was about to say to you is that to compare or to elaborate on what you was talking about is that when I got out of the military and I came back in the civilian sector and I got married, bought a home, this and that. The military helped me, you know. So you understand, Rod. So I'm gonna speak to this because you. I want you to really appreciate who I was a little boy from the streets of Miami that came out of some hell of a nonsense. You know, my sister shared last night some very personal stuff for her life, and I'm not going to go into it, but I was in some very ugly personal stuff in my growing up and everything, that it was so ugly and everything that one day I walked back in my house feeling good from smoking some weed and some drinking and everything, skipping school and everything. I was 16, 17 years old. And my mother stepped to me, it was like after seven, stepped to me to try to discipline me. And it was the first time prior to this, Ms. Queen, I had never stepped up or said anything because I was a quiet kid. I was very influenced, very respectful. But, you know, I saw some crazy stuff, some ignorant stuff going on in my household and everything. And I just, it was hard for me to deal with and everything. So I was rebelling. So this one day, I came home feeling good, drunk, skipped school, 7 o'clock. I knew I was supposed to be home. About 3:30. I didn't give a flip, okay? I'm coming home. And so I walked through the door. My mother gonna act like she's gonna put her hands on me and try to discipline me. And it's the first time, because I was feeling that sauce and I was feeling good. I looked at her. I gave her that look that a man gives. Jahar, you know what I'm talking about. You've been in prison, okay? You know what I'm talking about. A look that a young buck gives, okay? No, and I, out my mouth to my mother, you ain't about to put your hands on me with all this nonsense going up in this house. Are you out your mind?
I'm about to have an aneurysm.
Are you out your mind? Are you crazy? I told my mother this, you ain't about to put your hands on me, okay? You hey. And my mother stopped, it's the first time, bro. It's the first time I knew I put some fear in my mother's heart. I like looked at her and I said, oh, not today. It ain't happening today. Maybe all the time, but it ain't happening today. Okay. And my mother looked at me and she knew that I wasn't, whatever that little boy she might have thought I was, I just woke up and I looked, I wasn't happy. Okay. And my mother sent me to my room and everything. I'll never forget this, man. This is the queen. This is stuff you don't forget. I'll never forget it. My mother let me relax. She fed me my food in my room, told me I didn't have to come out. And I was the next one. When I came out, we had a talk at the kitchen table, and she told me. She fessed up. She knew what kind of weak men she was bringing around her. She knew. I already told you the type of men that she had in my life and everything. She knew. And she fessed up, and she said, baby, I'm sorry. You're right. You were absolutely right. I checked her. Right, straight up. And brother, she signed me up in 1978 and sent me away from Miami into the military. And I'm going to stop right there.
I'm just going to say this about your mama. She really, 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 really loved you. Because had you been my son, I beat the black off of you. You can do it.
Yeah.
I just couldn't do it. I'm sorry. I know.
See, here's the deal. Here's what you don't understand, sister. And I don't want to get into all the personal crazy stuff. But see, it's called checkmate. I knew all the state. Ugly, nasty, ugly. Filth in my own household, okay? Filth. okay? Filth, nasty, filthy stuff, okay? I knew it all. And how dare you going to take some moral authority on me and hold me accountable for something when you lie on this crap going on in my in this household under this head saying, you trying to act like you trying to come and have some moral authority with me? Are you out your freaking mind? See, okay. I can articulate it. I didn't understand it back then, but that's what I was wrestling with. I was like, oh, no, you ain't about to act like you got some moral authority on me when all this crap going on in this house. Are you crazy? I mean, I want you to understand, my father, my stepfather was a police officer. Gerard, you're going to hear me on it. He was a police officer in Miami. Listen up, brother, and all I'm going to say, doing criminal stuff, bringing it home. How, you know how when you're a preacher's son or you're a preacher kid and all the friends and everything knows you're a preacher's son. Well, think about all my friends that saw my father police car always in the yard and everything all the time and how they thought of me. And I could, back in my days, we didn't tell our laundry like they tell their laundry right now. I just absorbed it all. All my friends was afraid to hang out with me. They didn't want to do things in front of me. So I had to show, I had to become ugly and dirtier than dirty just to show them, brother. But I never told them the filth in my own house. Never told them. But I went out and done unbelievable things to show them I was down, whatever they wanted to do. We down, we doing it. Don't worry about my dad and he being, don't worry about him being that police car, right? Because y'all just don't understand. So, sis, when you say you would have beat me down, nah, sister girl, if your child would have had the filth on you that I had on my parents, I don't think so, okay? We'll probably... Yeah, you probably would have felt guilty, okay? You probably would have understood why I stepped up and everything. You follow me, Queen?
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it.
This leads us to the reason why we must talk about Declaration of Independence, okay? Where we talk about America. Celebrate all every year. It comes around since July 4th, 1776. Okay, America.
Since July 4th.
Yeah, I know you say July 4th. Okay, they always elevate. Talk about how we need to be so proud of July 4th, the independence. And you know, from a European, and I'm gonna be honest. You know, I serve my country. Okay, when you serve your country, you be proud about what your country done. But when I returned back home, okay, and I saw a demographics of people that look like me living in situations and living in conditions and everything, and then I had Arabs and Lebanese and people living in my community and everything, have stores and doing things. Hey, Gerard, this is what I found out. I went and asked them. You know, the military teach you how to get reconnaissance, okay, how to win people trust, respect, and confidence without them knowing it. I couldn't just go ask these Lebanese guys, hey, what made you open up a business in my community? How you find? I knew the question that I wanted to ask them, but I didn't ask them day one. I had to wait 6 months later to really come back because I had to win them over as a friend before I could ask them. So, you know, I chilled out with them and everything. We had a few drinks and everything. You know what I'm doing? Broke bread with them and everything. And, you know, we got to know one another. And once I got to know them, and I can't remember, 6 months, almost maybe 8 months or maybe a year. Then it hit me that once we became friends, I asked them the question that I knew I wanted to ask day one when I first met him. Bro, Gerald, yo, and I'm not going to call his name. I say, yo, man, come on, man. Come on, we've been friends, man. Talk to me. How you Lebanese guys, you and your brother got 3-4 stores in the West End, in the community, man. How have a conversation. I asked him how the conversation gets started that you find yourself from Lebanon all the way in America in my community in stores. Come on, man. I told him, don't no BS, man. I want to know. And brother, be careful what you ask for. But I asked him, And he told me. And he told me because we have became friends. Literally, he basically said, when we think about coming to America, because our countries and the things that we have to go through, we think about America a great opportunity. But we already know that we cannot go in the white community. We already know that. We can't open up businesses and everything in the white, because the white males, specifically said, the white males is not going to allow you, white American males, not, period, not going to allow you to come in their community, open up no shop where you are the head and do business with you. Okay, they say they already knew that. They already knew that. So strategically, they think about where can they do that. Brother, it made me, I had to hold my cool when he said it out his mouth. Bro, y'all looked at as weak, bro, weak men. Y'all ain't managing nothing. Y'all ain't in control of none of y'all community. Gerard, do you hear what I just said? Gene, did you hear what I just said?
Yes, sir, I sure did.
Did you hear what I just said? He said out his
yes, sir.
That culturally, we are being as men that's not managing our community. And they knew as alpha men that they can come in our community and set up shop.
Yeah, that's real. That's real.
And you know what? And here's the deep part of this, and I want y'all to hear me when I say this. I realized, because I was already an alpha man, the military had already helped me to be an alpha man. I realized, and here's the realness of this, why should I be mad at another man who found a way to come from his condition and come in America and find a way to make a living for him? I mean, this is emotional for me, because initially I was mad at him. You know what I'm trying to say? I was mad at him when he told me what he told me, my spirit and my relationship with God let me realize, why should I be mad and angry or envious about another man who wants to take care of his woman, take care of his kids, be angry about how he's doing it, and if he can do it, and we ain't stopping him from doing it, why should I ever be mad at him doing that? Do y'all hear me, Gerard? I want you to talk to me about that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
You know,
why should
brother? I can say this. I think the anger shouldn't be, or the madness as you style it, shouldn't be because someone wants to provide for their families. I think where the repudiation or whatever should come in is because one is plotting on the life of others, you know, and trying to capitalize off of the weakness of others. And they see us and they see the state and condition in which we are in.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, that's like somebody black booting your door down and coming in and taking all of your wealth in your house, parlaying it into some, you know, into riches, you know, and you in the house already, but they take everything in your house, you know.
Do you
and,
know how to play the game of chess, brother? You know how to play the game
yes.
of chess?
Yeah, yeah.
Also,
okay.
Leave the door open while you're snoozing, and that's a different story.
Exactly, that's a different story.
Just
you know, I'll say this real quick and fall back. You know, when I went to prison, I was a robber. That's what I was. That's what I was. I was a stick up kid, you know. And I know how to sit and change shifts in your bushes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And
yeah.
You know, so I you know, I had to feed my family. So
yes,
was
sir.
I right? Was I right by plotting and waiting and sitting on you and your family to come home? And putting a pistol in your face and a pistol to your woman head and telling you, if you don't give it, I'm going to blow your baby out of his pamper. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't right, you know? And that's why Sister Queen, that motto, and which is real, I come to give back to a community I had hands in destroying, but I didn't design the community. I didn't design the condition in which the community placed me in. And those in, you know, I wasn't robbing the designer of the community. You know, they just put us in this rat race, this maze, you know. And they didn't care until that criminal activity went outside of the community and started affecting the designer of the community, you know. So what I'm saying is that when these so-called foreigners, when they come over here, they first locate the black community, you know what I'm saying, because they know that in locating our community, they can reap some benefit. You know what I'm saying? One Arab told me, he said, brother, he said, let me say this to you. His name, brother Hassan. He said, Jihad, let me say this to you, brother. He said, at one point in time, all of these stores on 22nd Avenue in Tampa, Florida, was black-owned business.
There you go.
The question is, what happened? He said, I'm going to say this to you. He said,
positions and ownership. That's
right.
That's what happened.
He said, yep. He said, you my friend. He said, I consider you my brother. He said, and I'm not telling you what we're doing is right. He said, but just like you just said, brother, you know, survival. You know what I'm saying? Self-preservation.
Right.
If you don't use it, you'll lose it. Now, the key thing he said, what happened? That was a key question.
That's right.
This is what's happened, and this is what's happening. New faces own the businesses, and now these new faces have vowed. They have vowed and pledged, look, I'll sell the business. If I ever decide to sell the business, I'll sell it, but not to them. And you have to pledge not to allow it to go back into their hands, you know, because we fought like hell to get it out of their hands. So, you know, so I just wanted to say that.
You know, I'm glad that you articulated it the way that you articulated. And I wanted to say to you that the four principles of Man Up, the four principles of DASI, Descendants of American Slave Inc., three of us are all military. You know, two of us are retired military. One of us did about 6-7 years in the military and logistics. We're all military. So, one of the biggest things in the military, and I'm going to specifically speak of me, since I am Leonard assigned me and identified me as the chief strategist of this DASI movement, okay? So the strategy that we have in DASI, okay, is that the military teaches how to get reconnaissance. So I've been married now 22 years, okay, since I came back out of the military and got a divorce from my first wife and then got remarried while I got back. I've been out 22 years, and I've been doing my own reconnaissance, okay? Now, Leonard loved me, and Sister Girl, this is why they called me the strategist, Sister Queen, is because, as I told you about the game of bid whist, see, I want to use the analogy of chess. What I've come to realize is this, and you from the streets, brother, so you understand what I'm about to say, too. See, just because someone is hustling you and taking or beating your ass playing the game of bid whist, okay, or playing the game of chess, or hustling you or taking advantage of you not being able to be too smart or too quick or knowledgeable on what's going on and everything, that's okay. That's on them. The problem is that you sit back and allow them to continue doing it, okay, without checking them, okay? Checking them to recognize. See, I want you to understand. I didn't let me finish up. When I let my partner know he told me his story, I checked him and let him know. I hear you. I ain't one of them. Okay? He heard me. I checked him. Every time from that day forward, we had new conversations with one another. Okay? He knew that I knew what he knew. And I let him know. I don't play that nonsense here, Slick. Okay? I'm not one of those that you think my woman or no woman that I know will ever be working for you, Slick. I tell you that right now. I'm telling you, none of my friends, I will be telling everybody about this story and everything about what's going on. And if I have, when I get the finances and I get there, we'll be shutting your nonsense down, okay? But see, I checked him. See, the game of bidwist and the game of chess says just because someone is playing you and Ted, they have the rights to do that. They have all the rights because they're evil, whatever it is, no immoral, whatever it is. But it is your responsibility as a man or a person to check someone, to let them know you see them. It's like Avatar. Do you see me now? Okay, do y'all understand who I am? how would you like to win the game of chess? Would you like someone to let you to win it? Would you want someone to give you the tricks to let you win it? Or would you want to beat it on your own terms and whip that M.S. butt, okay, on your terms? And let them know you whipped them on your terms. That's Dossie. Dossie is learning how to play the strategy back to America on our terms. 400 years we've been here, we done peaked the game, America. We got to introduce new legislation to take color off the table. Let me hear you, let me say it again. America, Europeans been playing bid, whistle, spades on us since 1619. Instead of calling it spades, it's been called the white man's game, okay? They've been playing trumps on us since 1619, okay? We're saying that we looking at introducing new legislation because you got to do it through the system. You got to get the, you got to wake them up and understand that you understand the system. All that economics and all that stuff, until you change the damn rules on the game, okay, you cannot get equal, okay? Can't get equal as long as they holding the trump card. How do you check the, how you change the game? We introduce new legislation. That's what we've been working on. Changing the game on the table and removing color. That's why we don't want to call ourselves black anymore. Because the more you call yourself black, you lifting them up. I walk around since 15 years ago when Mr. Norris Shelton told me that I was a descendant of American slave and I read his America's Little Black Book. It was my Declaration of Independence, okay? It was like when he told me that actually July 3rd is actually our Independence Day from America, not July 4th. He said July 3rd is actually our Independence Day because that's the day and year, 1776, when our humanity as slaves was in place. Everybody knew we were slaves. America denied us our humanity, making the demographics of people three-fifths of human. America done that for commerce. You know that we have never checked America on that. Peter Hayes, am I right? Have we yet checked America on the fact that they stole our humanity July the 4th? Our humanity was in place. We knew we were slaves. We were slaves, but at least we knew we may not have been treated with everything, but we knew we were slaves, okay? America came along July 4th and denied us our humanity, totally by dehumanizing us by making us three-fifths of men. That's why we're talking about this conversation. 1619 is when the first seedings hit America. 1776, America confirmed it and put it into legal terms and confirmed it. It's now for us to correct that by introducing new legislation, because 1619 by 2019 will be 400 years. Peter, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I was actually on the internet today just looking a little bit about the three-fifths situation. And actually, the Constitution, July 4th was the Declaration of Independence, making us a free nation, but 1787 was when the Constitution was written. That's when they debated, the main issue they were dealing with is... What I was saying is July 4th was when, we proclaimed our independence as a nation. In 1787, when they actually validated the Constitution, that's when they came up with the three-fifths, that slaves were counted for taxation and representation. Let's stop right there.
A lot of people don't understand the whole reason why they did that to prevent slaves, because in many of those slave states, if slaves would have been allowed to vote, they outnumbered the European Americans that was in those states, and am I right?
Yeah, well, the issue was, like the numbers of congressmen each state get is based on population.
Right.
So So when they were deciding, you know, the 13 colonies and the new states, who was, you know, how many congressmen each state was going to get, you know, the northern states said, well, we only want to count free men, so no slaves would be counted because they can't vote. Now, the southern states didn't like that because they were going to lose numbers of congressmen, so they wanted all slaves. They wanted all slaves to be counted 100%, actually, the South. So the compromise was, but what that would do is give the southern states a whole lot more congressmen than the North, with it, which it ended up doing. That's why they supported slavery for so long until the Civil War. But so the compromise, well, the North wanted no slaves to be counted because they weren't voters, and the southern states wanted all slaves to be counted. They came up with the 3/5. And also interesting, Indians who didn't pay taxes were not voted, were not recognized,
not counted.
As
right.
counted.
But at the end of the day, let's just cut to the chase. At the end of the day, it's a numbers game. And at the end of the day, it's a business game. Because the 13th Amendment so-called freed, enslaved people. Then the 14th Amendment gave you full citizenship. Now let's just look at that for a minute, because at that time, prior to the 13th Amendment being enforced, now we were commodity, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So
property.
Now,
property.
Now
property.
You're forced
yeah.
to give your property
Come on,
away. Baby. That you made money off of, and so now that you have given us away and we're so-called free, and they know that we're going to have to fend for ourselves because they didn't get no receipt when they went over there and got us. So they now know that they got to share the land. So now the 14th Amendment gave us citizenship. Why? Why? I mean, at the end of the day, they could have killed us all. You know, they could have rounded us up, blew us up, burnt us up. They could have did all those things. But with the massive numbers of enslaved people that had suddenly been set free, here come the number game again. Oh, we're going to give them full citizenship, and then we're going to tax them.
Right.
But they fought like hell to not give us the 15th Amendment because they wanted to tax us, but they didn't want to give us a seat in the political process of voting. So still right now today, and I understand, not that I participate or, how can I put it, indulge in the political process, but I understand the passion behind people not voting. Not only are they, you know, people died for this, people marched for this, people went to jail for this. I have the utmost respect for them fighting for the right to vote. But now, with your eyes wide open, you see that by participating in the political process, you now have a voice. And for many years, African Americans have said, oh, well, we got taxation without representation. And that was fine. That was fine before the 15th Amendment was introduced. But now you got so comfortable and not participating in the political process that the reason why you don't have that representation is because you won't participate. And I'm not talking about these big elections, but when I say participate in the political process, I'm saying that politics is local. And in order for you to have a nationwide impact, you got to first start in your community. You got to first start with the politics right there in your town. You got to first go to town hall meetings. We need our men
to go to town hall meetings and advocate for our communities, advocate for protection of our women and children, advocate that they get a fair shake in creating and developing businesses in our community, advocate for education in our community, equal education, equal opportunity to academia. We need men to do this, and I am a stickler for men being on the front line. I'd be more than happy to sit back and shut my mouth, and I'll do all the paperwork and bake cookies and do whatever I have to do, but not until I see a strong wall of men stand up in our community. And thank you, Brother Jahar, for what you do with the BYC. And that's it. I'm done.
Yep, that's. I think we share that sentiment. I mean, no, I know those of us involved in Man Up, that's what we're trying to do is get, you know, if the men of any community of the whole, and this is a nationwide issue. Last call, remember we stated some of the statistics for children born out of wedlock. Now we're at, as nations, 41%. And most of these are fatherless homes. So these men are impregnating these ladies, running off and not fulfilling their responsibility to raise these children. And it's a total disaster. And, you know, when you think about it,
we have to unlearn, though, because that also is a learned culture. So that is part of what Michonne is talking about when we say unlearn. All of this that Dossie is about, okay, you can go on the wide scale and bring in the business and the political aspect about it, but foremost, Dossie is about family, because that's the cornerstone of any nation. So until
these single
men who are out here running around here single, knowing that they're sticking and moving, doing whatever they're doing, until they man up and start taking on the responsibility of a wife, start taking on the responsibility of children, building that strong family unit, having those women that are wives behind them, participating in the process, we're not going to get any better, but we got to start with what we have right now. So now we need surrogate fathers. We need surrogate uncles. We need surrogate big brothers to go out there and stand in the place of the absentee father and say, hey, I'm taking you on the front line of this battle with me. That's what we need right now today.
And hopefully we can start to turn the numbers around.
Yes, sir.
Because, it's at epidemic levels.
Yes, sir.
You know, one thing, the Catholic education, they went to a presentation one time, and the lecturer was talking about.
Peter, we are on the down drive of this conversation, so we need to go ahead and start closing this out. I've been listening to you all. I'd have made all the mics open, even my young brother Howard, his line is open as well, and even Marcus. Hey, Brother Jahar, I can't. You know what I do on this show is that I identify someone to be the closer of this show. Okay, we got 7 minutes left. I want you to be the closer. You're going to be the last one to make the last comment. But everybody got a quick 1 minute, okay, not even a half a minute, to say some closing statements about what you heard here tonight. Starting with you, Howard, real quick. Howard, you go.
I'm going to yield my time. I got too much to say. It's only 7 minutes.
All right, cool. Marcus, you there? You want to close out with something? All right. Mark,
I'm here,
okay. Marcus, I close you out there. That's okay. No problem. Go ahead, Gene. You go ahead and say what you're going to say, man.
Yes, sir. I just want to say we got to get out of processing mentality and become creators. Unlearn to relearn. We got a processing mentality going on in the community. We got to change
that.
And become creators.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, go ahead, Peter. I want you to be next, and then you, Queen, and then Jahad. You close us out, man. Go ahead, Peter.
Okay, yeah. The male of any species, if they're not domesticated by marriage and family, becomes a predator. And the female of any species that doesn't become domesticated by family and marriage becomes a scavenger.
Mm. 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 Go ahead, Queen. Follow that.
Woo! All I'm going to say is that let's just go to work. No more excuses. History is no longer a mystery. It's time to make the future something real. That's it.
All right. Okay, and what I'm going to say before I bring Zahara, I want you to understand, all these shows, Marcus really wants me to focus on this. All our current shows that we're doing right now is a preparation because Leonard, and they didn't even make it on the line today. He's working on diligently trying to make sure we get everything up so we can be able to direct people. We are military guys that are serious about laying down a foundation. We ain't lying, we ain't playing, and we ain't joking, okay? But we want to make sure that when we say go, it goes, okay? So all our shows right now is about preparation, and getting people involved. So, Johar, I am glad to have met you. I already text you my name. I want to hear from you and everything. So go ahead and drop us what your last words or what you want to say, want everybody to know, and how you feel you're going to be involved with this movement. Go ahead, bro.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm willing to get involved in any way that any way I can, you know, any way you will have me or receive me. I like to just leave with the five power P's. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. Your positive action combined with positive thinking results in success. Thank you.
Wow. Well, listen up. I want to just say to each and every one of you, and I'm going to say again that this show, all our shows prior to the president, Leonard Walker, tell us that he's ready to plug and say we can go ahead and do all our shows right now. We asking that everybody that's on this line, and if you're listening right now, we will be back next Saturday. My sister, my sister got a show. She going to a special show. All right, we got a little time. You got a little time. She got a special show for us next Saturday. Talk about it, sister. Go ahead.
Yes. We're going to be focusing on the family of Dossie and building that family of Dossie. So we need husband and wife teams that I'm going to be specially inviting on, and we're going to also hopefully hear from some of those early members of Dossie. I can't think of his name, Brother LeSean. I think his name is Mr. Emery.
Yeah, Emery,
yes.
Lee, North Shelton. Yes, exactly.
Right, because we need this to be a nationwide effort. We're talking about our future. We're talking about the future of our children. So we want everybody to get the information about Dossie. I don't want anybody joining on to something because you know me. Don't join on to something because of somebody else you know. I want you to be fully informed so that you can be ready for battle with information. This is something that is so easy for us to do. We're going to be talking about building businesses, economic basis, as well as academic
structures. And I want to thank you. Right.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm done.
I just want to say thank you, sis. I want to say, you know, I got 90 seconds. I got 90 seconds. So I just want to say to each and every one of you all that's listening here that all our shows is about preparation. And we say Dossie language, Dossie wisdom, Dossie understanding, and Dossie knowledge. Dossie stands for Descendants of American Slaves, Inc. We are currently incorporated in the state of Kentucky, Missouri, and North Carolina. We're looking to try to incorporate Mississippi and anywhere else, but you can only take our name when you come through us, and we take you through the process of who we are, making sure you're representing us in the manner that we want to be represented. So this series. And so that means we're going to be on two times next week. We're going to be on Saturday with Queen. She's going to be the host, okay, of that show Saturday. You'll be getting some information on. And then I'll be right back on Sunday, okay, doing another show of the Focus Show. I just want to thank each and every one of you for coming out here. I want you to understand, yes, July 4th, Wednesday, is happening. But wake up, America. We not sleep like we were anymore. We not the ignorant slaves that you let go through an emancipation. We are the of those individuals waking up in the 21st century. And you better go ahead and recognize that we are new people waking up in the 21st century doing a new thing. And we want you to know that we are sick and tired. Sick and tired. And it's a new time, new day. And it's happening right now.